Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Welcome back as we discuss romances and relationships in our four nice selections this year, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Little Women, and Dracula. Probably one of my favorite relationships that Rhett has is not a romantic one. It's Rhett and Melanie. I think their relationship was written by Margaret Mitchell with intent to show insight into both of their characters from perspectives that we don't get from Scarlett and we don't get from Ashley, you know, the other people that are the main sources of information about Melanie and Rhett. We're getting insight into their characters from each other, which I think is very interesting. Regarding Rhett's feelings towards Melanie, I've always asked myself, why does Margaret Mitchell make Rhett admire and respect Melanie so much when she literally represents so much that he doesn't respect? Okay, like, for example, some of the conflicting elements are Melanie is the character opposite of Scarlett. She represents everything about Southern womanhood that Rhett despises or disrespects. He has no use for a good woman, let's face it, you know? And he does not see the world the way Melanie sees the world. He does not share her beliefs or her feelings about the cause, so they don't have that in common. And he really has a low opinion of Ashley, the love of Melanie's life. He thinks Ashley is a weak-minded fool. So one would expect that Rhett would have an equally low opinion of Melanie, who would actually marry Ashley and would love him and marry him, you know. You would think that those three things would make him not respect Melanie at all. But despite those three conflicts in Melanie's character and Rhett's character, he does admire and respect her. He helps save her so many times, especially when she and Scarlett are in danger in Atlanta after Atlanta falls, and he never treats Melanie like she was a fool for marrying Ashley. It's like he sees her love for Ashley as some sort of very pure representation of love. It's very weird. He consistently treats her with gentleness and respect that he shows no one else in this book. No matter how he feels about the things or the people that she cares about, the war, the lost cause, Ashley, all the other people in her social circle, it doesn't matter. He consistently treats Melanie with gentleness and respect right up until the end. And that, to me, the whys, the wherefores, that's all somewhere in Margaret Mitchell's head. But we'll never know. But I feel like it gives us insight into his character and Melanie's character that we wouldn't have if Mitchell hadn't written their relationship that way. Because the opposite is true. Melanie sees him equally as a good person when he's not a good person. She always believes in the best of him, you know. And so we get to see the two of them through a different set of eyes than, like I said, Scarlett's or Ashley's, or, you know, we're seeing Rhett through eyes that aren't Scarlett's eyes. We're seeing Melanie through eyes that aren't Scarlett's eyes, because Scarlett's pretty hard on Melanie for most of the book, you know. To me, it's like Margaret Mitchell wrote this relationship between Rhett and Melanie to help us understand not just those two characters, Melanie and Rhett, but also Scarlett, Ashley, and everybody else. I mean, it's very interesting how she wrote all these characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to give a shout out to Margaret Mitchell for, I know she did a lot of research for the facts of the time period, mm-hmm. but she has so thoroughly thought out her characters.
Yes.
It's very deliberate what she has done with each of them. I thought
the book didn't take her. The book didn't take her 10 years to write. So you know, yes. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
I thought that Rhett's respect for Melanie was touching. Yeah. Every time that something happened that was positive between them, I was like, aw.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me thought, well, if he likes her that much, why doesn't he just go ahead and fall in love with her? Maybe they can all do a wife swap. Everyone winds up happy. But I don't think he's romantically attracted to her in a sexual way.
No, he's not at all. No, mm-hmm. You're right. And that's exactly why he doesn't fall in love with her. Because like everybody else in all these books we're reading, physical attraction has got an equation right there with falling in love. That's an element in all these relationships that are love relationships. And so I think you're right he never sees her that way. He mm-hmm. It's not that kind of a sexual... There's no sexual allure, so yeah.
Right. I think that he's able to, as you were alluding to, recognize a purity to her character that he can appreciate, even if he has no desire to mimic it.
Yeah, exactly.
And by purity, I mean no malice. Mm-hmm. She's very seldom selfish. When mm-hmm. she says she's being selfish, it's like nothing compared to other people.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And insisting on seeing the best in people mm-hmm. and standing up for people, even if it's going to be unpopular.
Yes.
She represents the perceived idol of the Southern lady with her social skills, her gentleness, and even the balance of submission to the husband, but showing the strength when she needs to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as much as you mentioned, Rhett despises that, there is just a little seed in him that still kind of yearns for that. Because at yeah. the end of the book, he talks about, hey, I'm not going to change my spots, but man... life, there was a certain appeal when life was like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he recognizes that in Melanie. I think he almost, the reverence for her is sort of like the reverence he'd give to a mother who's outdated, but he still like really, you know, reveres a part yeah. of that to some level.
Yes, and you're absolutely dead on with that, because at the end of the book, when he tells Scarlett, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn, and he's leaving to go home to his mother and his sister, which in the book they're a little more known in the book than they are in the movie. In the movie, they don't even exist. There's really no reference to them at all. But in the book, we know he's remained close to his mother and his sister. His father, he is not close to, and his brother is barely mentioned. So, like Scarlett's mother, Ellen, Rhett never knew Ellen because Ellen didn't go to the barbecue. And when he takes Scarlett and Melanie to Tara after Atlanta falls, he doesn't even go all the way to Tara. He leaves them at a crossroads. But if he had gone all the way to Tara, Ellen's dead. Okay, so he never knew Ellen O'Hara, Scarlett's mother. But if he did, I think he would have felt the same way about her that he feels about Melanie. Because I think that's how he feels about his mother. Mm-hmm. She is a gentle Southern lady. She has all the kindness and all the sweetness and, like you said, the purity of human character that he doesn't have, but he had that example in his life with his mother. After he's been excommunicated by his father, he's not allowed to be in much communication with his mother and sister. He hasn't been able to see them for many, many years because his father won't allow it, right? So the closest thing he has is Melanie. And had he ever known Ellen, I think he would have felt the same way about her. So when Melanie dies, that light in the world for him has gone out. And so he wants to go see, he's going back home to Charleston to see if he can find any bit of that, as he puts it in the book, you know, somewhere in the world. Is there any of it left? It's not that, he's not searching for the old South with slavery and stuff. He's searching for a kind woman, you know, that decent soul, if you will. And I find that remarkable at the end of the story, because in that moment, Rhett represents so much more than a male character in this story. He represents the South needing, wanting, longing for a bright light of soul, a hope for the future. And that didn't exist in the South after Reconstruction. And Margaret Mitchell knew that. But in her lifetime, she was growing more and more and more to be anti-prejudiced, anti-racist, you know, and all that. And I think that moment for Rhett is how she was trying to, you know, kind of say that we gotta go find the better part of ourselves, you know, and it's very subtle, and it may just be me, but that's how I see that moment, you know, when he's leaving.
Sure, sure. No, I like that interpretation a lot.
Let's go with it.
Yes.
Join us next time as we continue our discussion in our four nice books, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Little Women, and Dracula. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.